too. I've shown up two for two now after a hurricane has passed through. And I hope that you don't start associating with any hurricanes. You might not want to come back anymore. But it is good to be here today, even though the lights might be a little dim. Might not be able to see you real well. I'm encouraged in the Lord today. And I trust this morning that you are too. That you are encouraged today, that you're challenged, and that you are motivated to follow and serve God. He's willing, He is worthy to be served. God is worthy to be served. He's worthy of our affection. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of whatever self-denial is required. To follow Jesus, our Lord, is worthy. And He cares about us. He loves you. He has a vested interest in you. He wants you to be saved. We serve a God who is not trying to find everyone that He can sift out and grade on a curve and see who He can find in a problem so that He can knock you out of eternal life. But God's eyes rove to and fro across the face of the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are looking to serve Him. Yes, with problems, with faults, with needs, with trouble. That's who Jesus is. He is a God who knows how to deliver us from trouble. And He's looking for a people who are willing to let Him take over in our life and lead us to eternal life. And I appreciate that. I am so thankful to God today that He called my name. I'm thankful that God knows who I am. He's not just aware of congregations and groups of people, but God knows my name. He knows my social security number. He knows my birth date. He knows my middle name. He knows the steps that are before me, the steps that I've taken behind me. And He cares. And He wants us to care about Him. And I'm stirred this morning because time is short. Time is uncertain. Eternity approaches. Eternity looms large. And I don't know when my name is going to be called. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. I want to say at the beginning of this service that this message, that my message this morning is to the church, is to people that are saved. It's to people that love God. People that have a history of coming to church. People who have a history of desiring to be right with God. But I am still stirred this morning that the enemy can take advantage of Christians. The enemy can take advantage of the church. He can take advantage of people who have a long history of endeavoring to serve the Lord. He knows which way to attack us. And I'm burdened with that today. So I'd like to read a passage in the 8th chapter of John. I desire your attention this morning. You know, sometimes the Lord stirs things up and causes us to get out of our routine. Because maybe He wants us to get a hold of something that might have passed us by. And this morning, the message that I have, I don't want it to pass us by. I don't want it to pass me by. And I don't want it to pass you by. And in the fear of the Lord, I ask this morning that you would be willing to give attention to the words of the Lord. In the 8th chapter of John, it said, And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. And Jesus stood down, stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Jesus had lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman, and said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Such a beautiful passage, uplifting. A passage that many subjects have been preached on before. A passage where subjects that deal with the great mercy of God in the midst of even the greatest sins. Messages have been preached about second chances, even in the midst of greatest sins. Messages have been preached on this passage that deal with the fact that we should be so careful before we begin to judge other people. Jesus said, He that is without sin cast the first stone. But that's not my burden this morning. My burden this morning has to do with the decision that the woman made. The woman just made a decision to remain in the midst. The scripture says that when Jesus looked up, the woman remained in the midst. When she was given an opportunity to slip out, thank you. She remained standing in the midst of conviction. She remained standing in the midst of her great sin. Lord, here am I, just as I am. I am guilty. I am wrong. I have been caught. I have been exposed. But Lord, I am here. I am accounted for. And when she had opportunity to slip out with the rest of the group that continued to slip out, she remained in the midst of conviction and potential judgment. You know, if she would have slipped out with the rest of them, I fear for where she would be today. But because she didn't, because she stayed there, because she was willing to face the God that would be her judge with the great need that she had. Because of that, she found redemption. She found salvation. She found peace that day. Folks, this morning I want to tell you, in the fear of the Lord, we too are in great need. We too, as Christians this morning, as people of God, we still stand in great need of the mercy of God. Every one of us here that are here this morning, perhaps that have come for many, many years, we stand in great need of the mercy of God. You say, well, yes, but I don't stand in need of this woman had this great sin of adultery. I want to say it this way this morning. I personally am not comfortable standing before the Lord at the judgment and having him pull out the card catalog of my life that gives an account of every unrighteous, every ungodly thought, behavior, motive, hidden sin, those things in my life that have occurred and that perhaps will occur again in the future, unrighteousness that is in me that perhaps I don't even recognize, unrighteousness that perhaps I do recognize that maybe isn't evident to everyone else around. I'm not comfortable with the size of the card catalog of all of the things in my life that are not right and are not holy, particularly compared to the card catalog of the things that are right and righteous and holy in terms of facing a God that is holy and divine. Do you remember the card catalogs? Remember the day? Some of you don't remember the card catalogs. But I remember going into a library, and you walk in, and a lot of the floor space was captured with this big structure with many drawers. Drawers that were about yay big around. And for a little boy that just wanted the Hardy Boys books, and just wanted to come in and find out where the Boxcar Children books were found, and the librarian that wanted you to learn the card catalog and said, well, if you go right over there, you can find it. And you turn and you look, and all there is drawers. And you pull out the drawer, and there's card after card after card after card. Black and white, not color, not pictures, not illustrations, just the facts. Date, time, location, an accounting of every single book, activity, author that was in the whole library. Right there is accounted for. Folks, did you know that there is a card catalog of our lives? Our lives this morning that the Lord has. The Scripture says that He will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, everything is cataloged in your life. Do you feel in need of God's mercy today? I know that I do. We're adding to it quickly every day. Our lives, folks, are made up not of years, not of months, not of weeks, not of days. Our lives are made up of the decisions that we make each moment. Books are made up of words, word after word after word, and pretty soon you have a book. Sometimes we're waiting for the big thing to happen to demonstrate to the Lord, Lord, I'm a Christian. If when the big thing comes, Lord, I'll show you that I'm a Christian. But our lives are made up. Our experience with God is made up of each activity, of each decision, of each moment, of each day that is compiled into a card catalog, if you will, of our lives. And we're adding to it quickly as the days go by. And I stand in great need of the mercy of God because, Brother Clifford Wilson used to say so often in his prayers, he would pray and he would say, Lord, he said, we are so human and you are so divine. But to receive the mercy of God today, to receive the mercy of Jesus Christ, we have to be open. We have to be willing to stand in the midst of the Lord. We have to be willing to embrace conviction. We have to be willing to say, Lord, this is who I am. We have to be willing, no matter what our profession has been, no matter what other people think about us and what our history has been. We have to be willing that when the Lord comes along and we have a need that is exposed in our life, we have to be willing. Our part is to come before the Lord, and we have to willingly lay out our cards on the table and say, Lord, these are cards I'm not proud of. I'm not proud of this date. I'm not proud of this location. I'm not proud of this subject matter. Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm a saved person. I love you. I've accepted Jesus Christ. I believe in the blood of the Lamb. I've accepted your Holy Spirit. And Lord, given all of that, I still stand in need of help. I have a need, Lord. Lord, I have a need that perhaps I haven't been willing to get out on the table and just be real open and honest about it. We have the responsibility. God paid the price for forgiveness. But we have a role to play. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to come before the Lord and say, Lord, this thing right here, Lord, on this day, Lord, this attribute that I have in my life, Lord, this thing that keeps cropping up at some unexpected moments and times when I behave in this way or this thing that's in my life, Lord, I'm not proud of it and I want to get it out in the open. Lord, I love you. I care about you. I want to be saved. But God, I don't want to leave this unattended. I want to read a couple of scriptures that bring this out. The psalmist in the 32nd chapter of Psalms. And the 5th verse, it says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Lord, here it is. I'm not going to cover it up. Lord, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. Haven't tried to hide it, Lord. Hey, you're not going to surprise God. No, you're not going to surprise God with anything in your life. Might as well go ahead and err on the conservative side. If you're not sure about something in your life, might as well just get it out on the table and not fear the Lord's going to say, whoa, thank you for showing me that about yourself. I just didn't realize you had this problem. You're right. You do have a problem. You're not who I thought you were. You don't have to worry about that. God already knows who you are. Don't try to hide anything before God, folks. I'm speaking to Christians this morning. I'm speaking to God's people. The scripture said, I write unto you, brethren, that ye sin not. Don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. We're taught that. There's an experience. But if you do sin, if you do something that isn't right, if you knew to do good and you didn't do it, if you found that you came short of the grace of God, you don't have to let the enemy say, well, you have nothing. You were nothing. Your experience in the past was nothing. No. Oh, thank God the scripture said, but if you do, you have an advocate, the Father, that is sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father that is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. But the Lord is faithful. He loves us. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be open. He doesn't want us to hide anything because He already knows. He wants us to get to the place. As Christians, if you want to grow in grace, which we believe that, right? We don't come to the altar and get saved and then get sanctified and then all of a sudden we are perfectly perfected and there's no more room for improvement. At least if you found that, talk to me after church because I haven't found that experience. I found that it's a journey in growing in grace. It's a journey of God letting me know the need of my heart and showing it to me when I'm ready to receive it. Sometimes we're judgmental of people because of things that are in their lives and we just see it so glaringly clear. They may not see it yet. They might not be ready for it yet, and God in His mercy has kept them from seeing it because it might destroy them. They may not have what it takes to overcome it. We too are in that place. But when God comes along and He opens up to us the need of our lives, the place where we need to draw closer to Him, we want to be in the place where we say, Lord, I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm not going to hide it. you, I will confess the transgressions unto the Lord, and thank God, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's the wonderful news, folks. This is always turns out well. It always turns out well to acknowledge your need, to not hide it before God. It always turns out well during this life. As long as you listen to the Spirit's voice and you don't wait until the judgment, but you redeem the time. And when the Lord comes and He points out a need in your life and you're ready to acknowledge it, you're ready to uncover it, you're ready to just put it out there before the Lord. Thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Thank the Lord. I am so thankful for that. I want to turn now to Proverbs. He said something similar. Proverbs, the 28th chapter and the 15th verse. I think it's 15. The 13th verse. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Folks, I want to dwell on this a little bit more. If you're covering things up in your life that you need help in, if you're covering it up because you're afraid of sometimes or what somebody might think or what the Lord will think or just happen to acknowledge to yourself sometimes that I have a need, and we steer away from that and we don't want that. If you're covering up places in your life where you have a need and you're always trying to go around it and make excuses for it and you're putting it down underneath where it seems like no one else knows where it is, you're going to find you're going to have a difficult time prospering in life. Sometimes people wonder, Lord, why aren't you answering my prayers? Lord, why is it that all these things keep happening? Why don't I seem to be able to win the battles that seem like ought to be able to be won by a Christian? Lord, why is it that I can't seem to live according to the testimonies of the rest of the saints that I hear with the victory that they have? Sometimes it's because you're covering a sin that you know about. And God can't bless when we knowingly cover it up and we're not acknowledging it. Look, I know sometimes, often, we don't get over our needs in just a 15-minute prayer. We don't get over them in just a day. Sometimes we don't get over them in a year. But God wants us to be working and striving and looking for His grace and getting our need before God. And He'll bless us when we do that. But if you get in a place where you're willing to put it under your tent and cover it up and don't want to acknowledge it, you're going to find that you're going to have problems winning victories in life that you need to win. You remember Achan? Wasn't it Achan? He hid the stuff under the tent and they lost battle with Ai that they should have won. God wants us to be willing. He wants us to know that He loves us, that He cares for us. He wants us to be comfortable to come to Him and not cover our sins. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, Lord, here it is. Whoso forsaketh, not just sin you will, sin you must. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross and providing blood. And Lord, I couldn't be saved on my own. And then we just turn around and continue on living in sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we live in sin anymore? Listen, the Lord has a place for us that's higher than that plane. And yet, at the same time, if we have a need before God, He wants us to bring it before Him. He doesn't want us to cover it up. He wants us to confess it. He wants us to forsake it. He wants us to say, Lord, I don't accept this in my life. If you have to continue to say that day after day after day, which you might have to, there are some things in life. There are some trials and temptations and struggles and hurts that we battle in life. Sometimes the Lord will come along and He will touch you and remove it from your life like this. I have a testimony of that. God has done that for me, where within one prayer, one commitment before God, in an instant He took away all desire to this day in a miraculous way. And I look back on that as an Ebenezer stone, but he doesn't always do that. Sometimes there are things in our life we've got to press, we've got to push. There's some things that God wants to still teach us that we can learn in that weakness that we have, that he wants us to keep pushing. But we don't ever want to get to the place where we say, well, that's just who I am. That's just how I am. That's just how it's going to be. Thank God for grace and forgiveness. It's just who I am. No. Whoso confesseth, whoso forsaketh, I'm not going to accept this sin. I'm going to forsake allowing that to be hid in my life. I'm going to get it out. I'm going to get it open before the Lord. And the Scripture says that whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Thank the Lord. We must be willing this morning to remain in the midst of conviction. Be willing to stand in the midst of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be willing to stand in the midst of exposed truth. When the Lord convicts you, conviction is your friend. Embrace it. Hold on to it. Thank the Lord for it. Chastisement is a wonderful gift from God. When you do something and you feel guilty and chastised, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping me feel guilty. Lord, I would way rather feel guilty than be able to just continue on and feel nothing with your Spirit having left me. Embrace conviction. Look for it. Explore it. Give yourself to it. Don't run from the Holy Spirit's dealings. Stand in the midst when the Lord convicts your heart. When you have opportunity to slip out. So many times messages come forth and people get through the message and slip out the back door. And conviction then leaves. Listen, when the Lord convicts your heart, embrace it. Don't run from it. Thank the Lord for it. Remain in the midst like this woman that we read about did. Remain in the midst. It seems like as human beings, we are so ready and so apt to hide. To hide those things that aren't right. That concerns me. When I err, when I make a mistake, what we're ready to quickly do is try to cover it up real quick so that nobody sees. When we fall, we want to get up. We don't want anybody else to see us. I told the group the other day, we was working at our house and I was pulling some branches and I was pulling hard on it, and all of a sudden I wasn't paying attention and I tripped and I just fell right on down. And you know what the first thing I did before I was even concerned about whether I was hurt? It was to look to see if anybody else saw. That's what I was most concerned about. Did any neighbors see what just happened right here? Did they see me laying on the ground? And I looked, and fortunately I saw no one. And then I looked at my wife and she was laughing with me. But we are so apt. That's our human nature. We don't want anybody to see. We want to brush off. We want to try to hide our limp. We want to try to act like nothing happened. I didn't fall. Lord, I'm still strong, still going. I didn't, nothing wrong happened. The world spends millions of dollars helping folks cover up blemishes. Making things appear different than what they were in their natural state. Billion-dollar industry. People spend so much time trying to hide blemishes. We as human beings, we'll put smiles on our faces when we're frowning down inside. Not saying that's a bad thing all the time. We got to rise above our feelings, folks. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying, we have this innate inclination in us where we're ready to cover up whatever's wrong in our lives. We're quick to brush the cookies off the counter, the cookie crumbs off the counter and off our mouth before Mom finds us out when it's dinner time. We don't want her to know. So we want to try to act hungry when we're really full of cookies. And we try to clean everything up so that it doesn't look like anything happened. But folks, it goes, it's more serious than cookie crumbs. It's more serious than tripping and falling over a branch. Folks, we have an aptitude. We are too quick to hide sometimes behind other people's faults and failures. Have you ever found yourself doing that? This can happen in the home. This can happen with your spouse. This can happen with people at church that don't come to church, that should be in church. People, they've got their own problems, but then we're ready to say, yeah, but you know, you did X, Y, and Z, and you did this, and I remember back when you had this activity in your life, and you're not right, and so we try to hide behind the problems that other people have. God knows about their problems too. He'll deal with them. I remember as a little boy, maybe it wasn't that little, it might have been a little bit bigger, that sometimes, you know, me and Michael would start to get in trouble, and I'd say, well, Dad, but Michael, and he'd say, no, Michael, I'm not talking about Michael. I'm talking about you. Yeah, I know, Dad, but Mike, no, I'm talking about you right now. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be able to say, but Lord, so-and-so in the church was a hypocrite, and I'm going to deal with them. Don't stand at the judgment. Right now, it's your turn. Right now, we're talking about you. You see how important it is not to hide behind things? We are so ready to hide behind things that really don't get to the core of what the problem is. Don't hide behind somebody else's problem. Don't hide behind somebody else's failure. Be willing to get up and say, I own this one. This is on me. I need help in this area. And it continues to get closer. You know that a lot of people that are here this morning, we have grown up coming to church. You've grown up in this chapel. We have a history of parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, some of us, that lived this way. We can point all the way back to it. And many of us that are here this morning, we have, and rightly so, don't misunderstand me, we have a pattern of practicing religious activities that need to be practiced. We come to church. We're faithful to come to church. Y'all are here this morning. The lights are out. The power's out. There's no air conditioning. We could be home. We came to church. We pressed out. Came to church. We stay away from places we're not supposed to go. Maybe we stay away from sites that we're not supposed to look at. We wear the right clothes. We're modest. And we can get into a spiritual, religious form. We can begin to have a false sense of security of where we are as Christians because we can hide behind our history. We can hide behind the spiritual or the religious form that some of us have really perfected quite well. And we evaluate each other. May God help us. Sometimes we evaluate each other's spirituality solely based on an outward form. And we can hide behind it when there are problems that God wants to help us with. But we revert back. We don't want to address that problem. We don't want to acknowledge it for whatever reason. And so we get comfortable Amos, back in the Old Testament, I think it's the 6th chapter, I might be wrong. 6th chapter, woe unto them that are asleep in Zion. Who's that talking to? He didn't say, woe unto them that are heathen, that have never been given the truth. He said, woe unto them that are asleep in Zion. I don't want to be asleep in Zion. I don't want to be a sleepy Christian. I don't want to be a Christian who has a false sense of security that because I have a history in the church, and that because I have religious activities that everybody around me accepts and says, oh yeah, Brother Rod, he's good. Oh yeah, I know Brother Rod. And then in your mind you're thinking, yeah, he comes to church, I've known him for years, he dresses right, seems like he stays away, he says the right things, I haven't seen anything that, you know, looks so wrong. And yeah, he's getting it. And pretty soon I'm living for other people if I'm not real careful. I can start living my life for others as opposed to living for God. My focus can start to be, well, what do I need to do to make sure that nobody thinks anything, God, out of shape? And then I spend my life focusing on things that don't ever get to the need of my heart. Jesus said of the Pharisees, he said, outward there is whited sepulchres, but inward there is dead men's bones. I'm not saying that there's a bunch of dead bones here in the school. That is not my message. My message to you this morning is a message of encouragement that when you have a need in your soul, now is the time to get it out on the table. Tell the Lord about it. Confess the needs that you have. We hide behind things that can be detrimental to us in life, and then we get to the end of the way and we stand before God at the judgment. And then we have these needs in our life. He looks right past the dress. He looks right past our attendance and service. He looks right. He had a card catalog of that, but he's also got a card catalog of what's going on inside. He's got a card catalog of where your heart is. He understands that the needs that you have in your heart needs, that he was faithful to deal with us about. Sometimes we weren't willing to acknowledge. We weren't willing to say, Lord, I'm wrong. My granddaughter likes butter. Likes to eat straight butter. Like candy. She was eating butter the other day. The mama told her, it's time to stop eating butter. No more butter. Time to stop. She went on about her duties, and would you know it? She turned around, and there was that sweet little girl eating butter. And she told her, she said, you made a bad decision. Mommy told you not to eat butter, and you made a poor decision. You disobeyed Mommy. So let's pray to Jesus and let's tell him that you made a bad decision and that you were wrong. So let's pray and acknowledge that before the Lord. But she didn't want to pray first. She wanted her mommy to pray first. So her mommy prayed, and then it was time for her to pray. And this was her prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for butter. She never quite was able to get to the point where she said, dear Jesus, I was wrong. I'm sorry. You know what some of the hardest words in the English language are to say? I was wrong. Sometimes it's I'm sorry. But you know, I've thought about that. You know, some people have a hard time saying I'm sorry. You ever met people that can't ever seem to say I'm sorry? I mean, it seems so blatant. They need to say I'm sorry. They're messed up. Some people have such, it's like, just pulling eye teeth to get those words, I'm sorry. But you know, I think it's harder. It's even harder to say, I was wrong. You know why? I want to tell it because sometimes we hide behind the words, I'm sorry. Because we can be sorry about a lot of things. I'm sorry that this situation turned out like it did. I'm sorry that what you did caused this to happen. I'm sorry that our relationship isn't feeling real good right now. I'm sorry about that. That's good. Glad you're sorry. But sometimes we have a really hard time getting to the place where we just say, I was wrong. I own it. And not hide behind any of these other things. Just to get it out in the open and say to your co-worker, to your brother or sister in the church, to your spouse, I was wrong. I was wrong. Would you forgive me for that? When it comes to the need of our soul, the whole reason that Jesus paid such a great price was because He wants to bring us redemption for the sins in our life. He wants to give us grace to help us in our needs. But so many times we leave help on the table because for whatever reason we're not willing to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I was wrong. I need help. Folks, life is uncertain. May God help us to redeem the time. Had one of our workers the other day. His wife passed away in her sleep in her 50s, unexpectedly. No notice. Woke up. Spouse gone. No more opportunity to say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I've got a problem. Lights of life went out without notice. You want to gamble with that? You want to take that chance? Eternity is a long time. We have such a privilege this morning. Such a wonderful privilege as Christians. Come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I got a place in my life that I'm not comfortable with. Lord, I need help. I don't want to follow after the example of Felix. He says, well, when there's a more convenient season. Well, what does that season exactly look like? And are you in control of if that season will ever come? Or King Agrippa said, well, almost I persuaded you. Almost there, but not quite yet. May God help us today. We're so quick to place ourselves in a different category of the adulterous woman, of King Agrippa, of Felix, while we turn away from the mirror of truth that says, you have a need. Being open, being intellectually honest with ourselves and with God and with other people when necessary is the key to life. Well, in closing, we've read a beautiful account. We've read a beautiful account of a woman who was willing to stand and remain in the midst of a Lord. An account where the Lord was willing to offer mercy when judgment could have been rendered. When He so compassionately said, neither do I condemn thee. He gave her hope of a life where she didn't have to live that way anymore. We read of a story of a woman that probably was not proud of her sin. Was probably a tired woman. Probably wishing that she could be forgiven and set free from the need that she had in her life. And God granted it to mature in such a merciful, wonderful way. We have the same opportunity in life. As Christians, folks, as Christians, don't let the enemy cause you to hide behind your history or your testimony or your profession. It may all be right and accurate and good. You are saved. You are sanctified. You do love the Lord. You do have a history. You meant what you said. But you might have a need in your life that somehow you're afraid to just get out before the Lord. And as we go through life, I just want to encourage you this morning to be challenged, to be open with your needs. Maybe you don't feel conviction today about anything, but you know, as we go through life, we come across situations that all of a sudden our eyes are open to something about ourselves we never realized before. And it's really easy sometimes to go hide behind something. This is our day. This is our opportunity. And we can come before the Lord in humility, openness, where we can be thankful for conviction, embrace it, so that we too can hear those wonderful words. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. You can be liberated by the mercy that God wants to show us. I'm thankful for the mercy of the Lord today. Thankful for His faithfulness to His people, His great love. Let's be encouraged today to be open with a loving God and Father whose objective is to get us across the finish line. May God be with each one of you. Give you strength, grace,